Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards with the NCL. To my right, Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
What's happening, Ken?
All good. All good. Phil Davidson with Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really, really good. We have kind of a cool show today.
I'm fine, too.
Nobody
else. Oh, you're still here?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
We have Ben Miller from Premise Health. He is the chief revenue office, which is basically means he is in charge of their growth. And Premise Health, as you know,
is he in the C-suite?
He is in the C-suite, if you will. They're obviously one of our major sponsors on this show here and have been with us since day one. And you know, the coalition and a lot of the building trades use Premise for their doctor's offices as well. So he's got a lot to say, especially given what's going on in the state of the world today. And if you're all watching with the government shutdown, you know, and once again, why is the government shutdown? Because the Dems want to extend the ACA credits, right? Affordable Care Act credits, and the Republicans don't. So what's going to happen? In so many words, right? And what's going to happen to health insurance rates, Ed? They're going to skyrocket.
They're going up.
That would be putting it bluntly or putting it lightly. They're going up. They will go up substantially if those credits do not get extended. And not just for people that are using the ACA, for everybody, right? So anyway, we're going to talk about that. In quick news, we got to say, we're sorry to hear that Al Lorenz, he was the president of the Illinois Education Association, the IEA, a union of teachers,
predominantly, the largest union in the state.
Your wife works there, yeah?
Correct.
It was close with him, yeah?
Very close, yes. Yeah.
And we had him as a guest, maybe about a year ago, perhaps?
Yeah, something like that.
Just like a really super sharp guy, and he was a teacher, and so he passed away.
30-year educator, just great labor leader,
yeah,
and taught at Thornridge High School. Very close with his wife Wanda. We wish her the best and send our regards and rest in peace, Al. Big loss for the labor community.
Yeah, we are sorry to hear that. So shout out to his family. Who's taking over, do you know?
Yes. Temporary new president was a vice president, and then there'll be another election down the road. Yeah,
got it. So we have robots, and as Donald Trump's wife has said,
the robots are here,
and here they are. And so, what do the robots here in Chicago do? They deliver food. And so they have these little tiny things—I shouldn't even say tiny—that have, you know, four wheels, the things that look like eyes, and I guess there was Coco was one of them. They had a couple of dozen of these rolling around some of the wards here in Chicago, and now Coco has some competition with a company from Los Angeles. So,
are the robots going to fight each other for dominance of the market?
Well, I think
I hope
they do. I would pay to watch that.
Yeah,
right.
It's like BattleBots, but they're full of like burgers,
pizza delivery. Yeah. They say these things could hold like seven pizzas.
Burger bots.
Are they kind of like Waymo?
But they're smaller and they roll on the sidewalk.
It's like a little robot. It looks like a lawnmower with no handle that just zooms along and comes to your house and you go outside and tip it over.
Yeah, speaking of tips, you don't have to tip it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so but here, what's the
Phil still would.
I would. I'm a very generous tipper.
You'd give it a tip.
Terrible with money.
But what is the purpose? You throw the money into like his tank. Here you go. Here you go, Coco.
Here's some Bitcoin.
Well, what's the purpose of these things, right? The purpose of these things is to take jobs away from humans. End of discussion.
Yep.
End of discussion. You don't have to pay the robots a wage. You don't have to pay them health insurance. You don't have to pay taxes on them.
And they can work 24 hours a day.
They can go forever. And so I'm not saying...
Where do they go to pick up these deliveries?
They go to restaurants.
Okay, so they just show up at a restaurant, a robot, and you're like, here's your food, robot, go.
So I believe White Castle's using them.
Okay.
Man,
right?
If this can make a trek at night, of like two or three or four or five blocks across the city of Chicago
yeah.
without getting run over by a car, flipped
set
over,
on fire,
stolen, anything, then this is not the city that I know and love.
Exactly. You
know, I'm like, not saying I hope these things get thrown in the river.
I'm not saying I would drive into it with my car.
I'm not saying I would stand in front of it to try and make it go around me and just keep moving.
Yeah, just dump it in an open manhole cover.
But yeah, listen, I saw a video. And, of course, what was the city? It was the beautiful city of Philadelphia, where people were just beating one of these robots yeah. to death.
I'm not against it, because Terminator 2, they were fighting robots they couldn't beat. Those right. robots started somewhere, so you got to beat them while you can.
Get them while they're small.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Make them afraid.
But here, I'm going to tell you, I'm just talking right to the audience right now, and that is, do not order from these. Don't use them. End of discussion. You don't use them. There's no demand. We're in a capital system, supply and demand. If there's no demand for these robots, don't use them.
Do you have a choice, though? If you're ordering from, say, White Castle?
Sure. Or
like, do you want the human or robot delivery?
They're like, robots $2 cheaper. Everyone's like, ooh.
Well, here, it's going to, listen, Phil, it's going to be back to the ATM, right? ATMs, oh my gosh, this is great. I can get my money anywhere. I don't even have to go to the bank anymore. And all of a sudden, they started charging you. Now there is, you know, barely any such thing as standalone banks.
Oh, yeah. I will drive 5 miles just to go to a bank where I don't have to pay an extra fee for an ATM.
Yeah, but, I do the same. It is kind
of
weird.
I'll go so
that.
Out of the way to
well,
not
you know,
pay fees.
That's not the bulk of the public, right? Yeah. The bulk of the public doesn't do that.
Yeah. Same feels
they're,
weird.
They're not all cheap like me?
Or they don't use cash,
okay.
right? So my point is, if there's no demand for, you know, these robotic delivery services and you know, I mean, you want to talk about low-hanging fruit. You're taking jobs away from, like...
potheads.
That and, like, a high school kid that's making some cash on the weekends delivering
people getting
pizza.
Deported.
You know, it's just terrible. And so don't use them, in my opinion, anyway. But you will see them around the city, I think. And they're starting in a couple of different wards. But listen, this is the tip of the iceberg. I saw a story the other day where there was a traffic stop in Los Angeles with a Waymo.
Mm-hmm.
Waymo made an illegal U-turn, and I think it was in front of a security checkpoint of a DUI thing. So I guess Waymo's must be drinking on the job or something.
Fates don't fail me now. Some guy in an office like two towns over gets fired.
It was like, wait, hold on a second. Do they check? Are they checking the passenger or the driver? Like, let's just turn around just in case. Anyway, this Waymo makes an alleged illegal U-turn. Cops pull over the Waymo, but they can't give it a ticket because there's no driver.
Right.
And there's nothing to give a ticket to. What? Like,
can you
what?
Give a ticket to the drone operator?
I don't know. I don't know. We're in uncharted territory,
That's
Phil.
Where this is going to create jobs. There's going to be some guy whose job it is to make sure that they don't make illegal turns. And whenever they make an illegal turn, they're just going to fire that guy.
Yeah.
That's a terrible job.
It is a terrible job. So
that's anyway, lost revenue
Chief
for
Accountability
city.
Officer.
So listen, I mean, I thought it was funny about these robots. It's funny, haha, because if you look at a picture of one of them, they're cute. And they're designed to be cute. Little, you know, big eyes, and they have a light up, and some of them sing a song.
Okay, robot
and,
fetish.
You know what I mean?
You like it when they sing to you, Ken, is that right?
Yeah, I love it.
They look even funnier when they're upside down, falling yeah. into a manhole
they're
cover.
They're cute, he says. Okay.
Let's see if Coco can swim.
No!
Splash. All right. So, listen, with that, we're going to be back. We're going to talk with Premise Health right here after the break on... the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor, Ken, Ed, Phil. And we are stoked today to have Ben Miller from Premise Health. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah, thanks for coming in. What's your title?
I'm Chief Revenue Officer.
So, C-suite, if you will.
Yes, sir.
We like the... Look how important we are. We have C-suite people
Sweet
in here.
Sweet cedar,
British
Mancy. Yeah.
So, all right, what does
Normal
that mean?
Levels.
What does that mean in plain English?
Yeah, I've got responsibility for growth in the organization.
So, let's back up. Ready? How long have you been with Premise?
About 2.5 years.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Where were you before?
Kaiser Permanente.
And now, why is it, Ken, that we're booing Kaiser Permanente?
I think they're union busters.
I know they had a strike out in California years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big word, though, Ken, union busters.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I know every time I see Kaiser Permanente, it's not in a good light.
80% of it's unionized.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Nurses.
Yay!
Look at that. Reverse course.
I don't have
You're welcome, Kaiser Permanente.
I don't have a yay button.
We should get one.
So you worked there. Okay. And then before that, you worked
prior to that, I was with Blue Cross Blue Shield companies across four markets in the U.S. for almost 20 years.
Wow. All right. And we're familiar with the Blues here in Illinois, obviously. Yeah. What made you decide to go to Premise?
Yeah. So I feel very prepared for this role. Growing up in the Blues was awesome. A lot of great mentors, great company, really good culture. Moving in then to a full health system, so I wanted to experience what it's like working for an integrated care delivery model where we own the health plan as well as the actual docs, the system.
Right.
And then Premise was just a really natural movement. I wanted to find something that I was really passionate about, which was primary care.
Yep.
The fact that it is outside and it's a direct business, so we work directly with the unions, with the buyers. Outside of, I would say, the arm of the insurance mechanism, deductibles, co-pays, et cetera.
The long arm of insurance.
Yep.
Right? And that's very topical. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you wake up every day and you work for a company that our clients really like us.
Mm-hmm. Well, some,
our MPS
some, well, some of them.
Consistent.
Comment on that one?
Most of them.
True.
We'll go with most of them.
I'm kidding.
The data says that we do a really great job, and we're just extremely
Well, we can speak from experience. So for those of you listening, the Coalition has a deal with Premise, and the reason that we picked Premise is because of your model, which was disrupt healthcare, right?
That's right.
And you're outside of insurance. So to make it simple for everybody, we literally own health centers along with the carpenters and the electricians and the Teamsters, mm-hmm. right? And more unions joining. And the concept is very simple. Economies of scale. Our members get to use these health centers, and we're trying to build them where our members live or within a certain mileage, right? And I think it's like, what, 20 miles?
Yeah, I think it's 20 miles.
And it's working really, really well. And you don't have to go through insurance, right? You go right to the doctor, you walk in there, and you get a great experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, we
and
went with
free.
Premise. It's what?
And it's free. Our members pay nothing.
And
it's
free.
And we work for you guys.
Right.
I think that's a difference. I mean, if you think about the other providers that are in the communities, the hospitals, et cetera, they don't work for the unions.
Oh, no.
This is completely the reverse.
Right.
We work for you guys. We get paid by you guys. You tell us how you want us to talk to your members, we'll do it. You tell us what you want the hours to look like, we'll do it. What kind of care do you want delivered at the centers? We'll do that as well.
Right. So it's look, it's a unique model, but it's one that's growing, correct?
That is correct.
So you're in the right spot at the right time.
I would say the timing of it is incredible. We were talking a little earlier about the premium increases that we're seeing out there right now, record highs. If you look at the beginning of COVID to now, 27% rate increases over that total amount of time. And the projected rate increases for the 2026 selling season, this is your health plan, so your premiums, et cetera. The national average is 10%.
Wow.
That's the average. You think about the ACA market. So yep. All those folks on individual getting just hammered.
Well, a huge part of this government shutdown is the fact that at the end of the year, people who are getting subsidized
double,
you know, through the exchanges, their cost is going to go double.
Double.
That's 100% inflation.
Because they're getting rid of the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And that's what the fight is about. Of course, you know, in my humble opinion, the Dems do just an abysmal job of telling everybody what the fight is about. It takes them forever to actually get to like, hey, everybody, this is what the fight's really about. And then once you hear about it, you're like, yes, that makes sense. Especially if you're a Medicare user, right? Or, you know, you're on that market. And even if you're not, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's going to affect private sector as well, correct?
It will.
How?
It will. So the way that we like to think about it is if there is a bunch of people go off the system.
Yes.
So now you have all these uninsured folks.
Yes.
Ultimately, they're going to still need to seek care.
Mm-hmm. So they go to the emergency room.
Nailed it.
Okay.
So
you hear that, everybody?
Someone's got to pay for that.
I nailed it.
Congratulations.
And
yes.
That's
an easy one.
What we love about our model working with you guys is it's not magic. If we give you more access to primary care.
Right.
Same day, next day, mm-hmm. virtually, walk-ins.
Yeah.
People use it.
Right.
I mean, I always think about it as a delivery service. Why do you use a delivery service? It's easy. It's generally competitive. We're in the same boat.
It's convenient.
Convenience,
right.
In our minds, is high-quality care.
I mean, we used to run across union members who would say they hadn't been to see a doctor in 10 years. So when you get somebody thinking about,
yeah.
I should see a doctor, you got to get them in that moment. You can't just have them call someone and set up an appointment for 6 months down the road. Yeah. You know, so that
because then, you know, nine times out of ten, you're going to cancel that anyway.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I can't get to the doctor for 6 months. Whereas, like, you know, you call one of our clinics, right? You guys the same, the Carpenters, you know. Like, you're in that day. They save a certain amount of appointments for walk-ins.
Ours is in the same building where a lot of our locals have their offices. So people are like, they go in for their local meetings, they go pay their dues, and then they go see their doctor all in one fell swoop. That's what it's all about.
Well, the experience, I think, you know, like you were saying, the experience is better, right? You see the same doctor over and over again. You see the same nurse, the same staff. They know your name. You know, like my doctor is in Northbrook. They'll call me and say, like, time for your physical. Like, what? Like, already? Yeah. time to come in. Or he'll say, hey, I got your test results back. You're good to go. You don't need to come in for another 6 months. And, like, that's really cool because otherwise, what does a surgeon get paid to do? Surgery, right? What do the doctors get paid to do? See you as much as humanly possible.
Run
what
are tests. These
specialists? We need to run a bunch more tests for what? You said I was healthy. Well, we're looking for stuff, you know.
Making sure.
Yeah.
Need a second opinion.
Yeah. So your model is different, right?
It is, and I've got a great story. So we just turned on PT at one of your locations, which is really exciting.
That's
and
physical therapy. Everybody.
Physical therapy.
Another one for Ken.
Thank you so much.
Very popular service offering at our clinic. I know.
Well, especially in the trades, right?
Average time to get a PT visit outside of the premise system here in Chicagoland, take a guess on how many days?
I have no idea.
45.
Whoa. Wow.
So
might as well just let it heal itself.
Yeah. Or you go
amputate.
To the emergency room.
Yeah. Or you go to work else. Hurt and hurt something else, right?
We had a member who was experiencing some neck pain. They were able to get a same-day appointment within 3 to 4 visits. They were feeling much better. They had numbness in their hands, numbness in their necks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty big deal working in the trades.
For sure.
For them to be able to get those services, he actually talked about being able to go out and throw a ball with his grandson within a couple of days.
That's nice.
That's why we do what we do.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for you. And so how many health centers do you have?
With you guys, we have 9. Across the United States, we have 900. And we're proud to report.
So that's what, 10% of that?
I think it was 30%.
30%. 40% of the health centers.
Yeah.
Phil, check the math. We good?
We're good.
All right.
No, with us, you meaning just the coalition. But what about labor in general?
Yeah, labor in general, gosh, we're up to, I'd have to double check, we're north of 20, maybe 25 now across different markets.
So we're getting there.
We're getting there.
And I just keep hearing more and more people going like, hey, what is it with these health centers? What are you guys doing again? And so Ed and I go all over the country with the coalition. You know, one of the things we'll say is, you know, here are all our benefits and, you know, here are some things actually that are not in the book. But, you know, because we were able to leverage our numbers, you know, we have doctor's offices. Yeah. And some unions, like union leaders, have looked at me and said, you have what? Like, we have our own doctor's offices. Yeah. Like, how's that possible?
You guys have the ability to move the market. And I think that's what's so incredible. By banding together and coming up with, you know, what solutions people need, whether it's primary care, behavioral health, PT, chiro, you name it. You have the ability to deconstruct the model you want it, the way you want to deconstruct it.
Right.
You have the ability to focus on access and high quality care. And I go back to the convenience lever is so powerful.
Yeah.
You can get in immediately. You, your family members. And oh, by the way, it's where you live.
Yeah.
We flex on, we know you guys are out in the field. We know that your hours aren't traditional. How can we come up with a model that fits your calendar, your schedule, your family life? And there's nothing in the way of that with this model.
Well, right. I mean, some of the centers have staggered evening hours a couple days a week. So if somebody's working, you know, 6 days a week, they can come in the evening. It's kind of like that.
I had COVID, I don't know, last year, and I literally called, you know, up to Northbrook, my facility, and I said, look, I have COVID. I was on Long Island at the time, actually, in New York, and they're just like, okay, called in a prescription. Yeah. I went and got it. That was that. It wasn't like, you have to come in, and I can't really give you a prescription. It was just like, yeah, we're done.
And you don't have to rehash.
Yeah.
Right.
So they know who you are.
Yeah.
They can look at your medical record. It's all right in front of them. It's real time. You don't have to rehash every single incident you've had in the past 6, 12, 18 months.
Because it's been a lot.
More than a few.
If you have the density of union members in a specific location, it really is a no-brainer, right? Like, you're doing a disservice to your members if you don't operate an on-site health center, if you have X number of members in a certain region.
Let's talk about some of the economics of this. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. Is that all right? And then we're going to come back, and I want to just drill down on a couple of things. So stick around. We're going to come back with more of Mr. Ben Miller, the CRO of Premise Health, right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers, Mike. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So we're still here with Ben from Premise Health. And so you guys are not private equity, right? You're owned still to this day by OMERS, right, which is the Ontario
Municipal Employee Retirement System,
which is basically a pension fund and a ton of union members in that pension
fund. That's correct.
And so it's a bit of a different model. It's not like you're not for profit. You're obviously a for profit business, but it seems to me that it's just you're a bit more altruistic because, look, you know, we've talked to Stu Clark in the past and Bette Ratliff and people that are in, you know, this C-suite, but also, you know, people that handle our business and, you know.
And the providers, the doctors, and mental health providers.
A lot of you, which is really weird. The three people I just mentioned from your C-suite, if you will, have union backgrounds.
Right.
Which is amazing to me, you know, and that's important to us.
And they've been there for a long time.
A really long time.
I think that's why the match was so good with where we are today. We think about these things in really long cycles.
Yeah, you're playing the long game, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
How do we provide stability? How do we make financially conscious decisions to be able to provide consistent, high-quality products for the long term?
Right.
It's that simple.
Rather than trying to make as much money as humanly possible in this quarter.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I have a deadline to meet. And I got to make my mark for this.
Yeah, we need 10% this quarter.
Yeah.
You know, that's where businesses go bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's annoying, right? So we think, and you know, I'm almost positive now at this point because we have a bunch of years under our belt, that the fact that we have these centers has A, saved our members money, but B, and almost more importantly, saved the health and welfare fund money.
Yeah.
So there's a like what we call a downstream effect of having this. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, the way that we measure the ROI is look at total cost of care.
So ROI is?
Return on investment.
There you go.
So between primary care, behavioral health, other services, we look at the members that are attributed to your centers compared to the members that are attributed to the community. And how much care are they getting, and what's the cost per episode of that care? And we're proud to report, based on an independent study that we did that was third-party validated, we're seeing total cost of care savings in the neighborhood of 30%.
Wow.
On a very consistent basis. You take that one step further, that's just for the fund.
Right.
Well, how about the family members?
Right.
How about the union members?
Right.
And what kind of savings will they see without having to use deductibles, co-pays, going to the centers at no cost? And the average is really a great number. We're seeing between $300 and $350 saved per member per year on just those out-of-pocket expenses.
So is that the member or is that the whole household? What is that?
Yeah, that would be the whole household.
Okay.
So I don't have a copay for this, or I was planning on going to the emergency room and I ended up going into the health center. PT was going to cost me whatever the copay plan design is outside of Premise.
Yeah.
Cost me nothing inside the health center.
I mean, you know, for those of you listening that are not, you know, in one of these, if you're in a union, ask your union leader, why don't we have one? Why are we not participating in one? And we're not saying you got to join Premise. There's a couple other out there, and competition's good in the marketplace. There's no problem with that.
But Premise is the best, to be clear.
Obviously. That's why
far and away the market leader.
That's why we chose them.
Yeah. Indeed.
Although we do use Marathon in a couple of places, in some outlying areas where
Premise it has consolidated exist. Considerably, right?
That market. Is true.
This whole space is consolidated. Yeah. But so, you know, what we're talking about here makes, you know, financial sense, and that is I go to the doctor, even if it's the doc in the box, urgent care, whatever, my first X number of dollars is out of my pocket. End of discussion.
That's right.
So there's our deductibles. All right. Some unions have, you know, I think ours at 150 is 300.
Yeah, 300 person, for an individual, or 700 for a family.
700. So, you know, just that number alone is a lot of money. Secondly, then after that, if you're in network, which, you know, we're of course trying to make sure that our members are in network. For us, it's 90-10. Some unions have 80-20. Right. If you're not in a union and you're working for company X and, you know, you have a premise health center, you're probably paying 70-30, right?
60-40.
Is it that bad out there?
It's expensive.
Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about an enormous amount of money that you can save by going to these health centers, right? And so that's real dollars and cents back in our members' pockets. And what does that do for our members and their families? It frees up a little bit of money. And what do they do with that money? They spend it in the community, right?
Yeah.
In Ed's case, they spend it on beer. But
yes,
in the community,
at the local liquor store,
in Waffle House,
walking distance.
At Waffle House,
there are sadly none of those within walking distance.
I saw about 30 when I was.
Did
in
you
Georgia.
Stop?
No, but I waved.
Come on,
yeah. So
live a little.
You're seeing that actually in real dollars and cents.
We are. So the Kaiser Family Foundation, which is a separate entity, it's a think tank that they have, just came out with the study that the average household. It's $25,000 a year that they're paying in premiums, copays, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's per year.
Per year.
What can you do with that money?
Yeah.
$25,000.
That's correct.
And that's about to get worse.
Correct.
So basically, it's about to either put you off of insurance, meaning you're no longer going to have it, or you're going to have to sacrifice eating for that year.
I think this is why the solution is so powerful at this moment. Employees can't take anymore.
Yeah.
You can't push down these costs, the cost shares that you have to push into those households. There's a massive affordability issue in this country. If this is an easy lever for you all to pull to get real high quality care at no barriers with copays, why would you not do something like this?
Well, it seems like healthcare traditionally with running through insurance networks is almost like an island. And if people leave the island to get into direct care centers, the people who are left on the island are paying more. You know, if folks can't afford health care at all and they just go in to the emergency room and they can't afford to pay the bill and the hospital writes it off, the insurance company has to make that money somewhere else. So, you know, there's boats. Get on a boat and get off the island. Don't be the last guy on the island.
Right.
Because we see the double-digit inflation for health care, and that's without removing these subsidies. This is getting ugly.
It is.
What did I think I heard that you guys just did a deal with Google.
That's correct.
And where is that? Out in California?
It's everywhere.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
Google is definitely everywhere.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
2,000 employees coming here.
That's awesome.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. We
Gil Thompson
started work with them a couple years ago, and at this point, I think we're up to 15, 20 centers across the United States.
Got
pretty
it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of another great example where I would say you guys have really put a flag in the ground. They are doing exactly the way you described it, deconstructing the model in a way that's really beneficial for costs, really beneficial for membership, and being able to control your own destiny.
So do you think, do you see other companies, you know, jumping on board? Because you said you have 900 centers, right? Only a small amount of them are union related. You got, you know, a Google, right? What else is there? You have universities. Like, what's your world?
It's everything. We are in high tech. We are in defense. We are in the trades.
Education,
we are in financial
right?
services.
And those are all verticals, Ken.
Those are verticals?
Verticals.
Thank you so much.
We've also got health plans that are reaching into us saying, we need your help.
A health plan. Oh, that's interesting. So how would that work?
So they will put us in an area where maybe members don't have access to high-quality primary care, or, as you mentioned, they might have not had a visit for 2, 3, 4 years. They'll drop us into one of those markets. They'll adjust the copay structure exactly the way you guys did it, and they'll market the program to say, come into the centers at little to no cost.
You guys have a problem getting and or retaining doctors?
Almost the reverse.
Yeah, really.
We are running at a record low vacancy rate, less than 9% this year. Our tenure for our physicians is pretty unbelievable. They look at our model as, this is why I went to medical school.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about 200, 300, 400 emails a night that I have to respond to. I can spend as much time with the patient as I need to. And I get to continue to maintain that panel of patients over time.
It's kind of like the old school, you know, sole practitioner, general practitioner, the doctor that you saw when you were little.
Yeah, you walk into town to go see the doctor. He knows you, he took care of your mom.
You get a lollipop, right? I mean, it's that guy.
You got to get some lollipops.
Do you guys give out lollipops?
We can.
Well, we appreciate it.
Are there any shared corporate models?
There are. Yeah, we have.
How does that work?
Yeah, we have about 10 locations across the United States and some pretty big cities, geographical areas, where we have multiple employers that are accessing a center.
But they're not, are they competitors of each other?
In some circumstances, they can be.
Wow.
I mean, I think that's always the critical path that we have to forge is you got to get like-minded employers who believe in the exact same initiative.
Put their differences aside, if you will.
You got it.
Okay.
And where do we want to co-locate the site that's really going to benefit our membership?
So you're doing this now cross company, I guess, or cross corporations.
Industries,
that makes sense as well. Fast forward. It's you guys. It's some of your competitors. How many of these are there in the United States at the moment, besides what you have?
Yeah, I would say that there's 4 to 5 that we see on a consistent basis.
4 to 5 companies?
4 to 5 competitors.
Okay, and how many do you think near sites, you know, doctor's offices that are outside of the realm of insurance exist?
I honestly don't know the answer
to that. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I bet you it's, at this point...
a couple thousand?
Yes, okay. Easily.
All right, that's easily. Good. So you think that as it keeps going, like... Isn't, like, you know, I don't know, somebody lobbying against you or insurance companies saying, like, hey, you're taking a piece of the pie, or are there people trying to put you out of business? You know, like, what are the politics of this?
With some of the recent legislation that came out, we actually do see an opportunity that HSA funds can be eligible to use our services, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that was a really big step in the right direction. You know, it's interesting. If you do this on behalf of the employer,
mm-hmm.
I'd say a lot of those politics fall aside.
Interesting.
If we're focused on the members, those funds, and that's what they want to do,
yeah.
Ultimately, again, I go back to we work for you guys.
Right.
If this is what you want to do, you have a really big voice with these health plans. You have a really big voice with these health systems. If this is where you want to steer the care, they're going to be willing to participate.
Well, it certainly seems that we do, and it certainly seems that it's working.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming in, and thanks for sharing all of this. It's really good information, and it's something that, you know, we continue to talk to our members and listeners about. It kind of, you know, like, you know, there's a Venn diagram of financial literacy and health literacy,
yeah.
Right? Health, you know, and welfare literacy. And I think that's important in this regard. So we can't tell you how much we appreciate the partnership. Appreciate your coming down, Ben Miller. And if people want to find more out about Premis themselves, like as a company, where do they go?
Yeah, premishealth.com is the easiest way to do it. We've got a lot of social feeds out there as well on LinkedIn. We're doing stuff on Instagram now. So it's
TikTok?
It's not TikTok.
We are.
That's okay. Healthcare shouldn't be on TikTok. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, wait, don't you, if you go to SiriusXM and listen to Doctor Radio, they like totally talk about it. It's like, oh, please, God, let my thing be, like, my leg hurts. Please let them talk about leg hurting today.
You gotta sit and wait for a long time.
That's people's, you know, doctor's visits.
It's
nowadays.
Getting bad.
Yeah, it's getting bad.
Times are tough all over.
But listen, that's awesome. And then, you know, just one quick shout out to the coalition and to you guys, which is if you actually go on their website, it says, like, look, we partner with labor, and right there, number one is the National Coalition of Labor. And we're proud of that.
That's
you know,
right.
And we're proud of this partnership, to be honest with you. We really are. So thank you so much, Ben Miller, CRO, Chief Revenue Officer for Premis Health. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher here with Ken Edwards and Phil Davidson. We've just got a little bit of time left in the show here today, but one of the things that I think we need to talk about is anybody who paid any attention to the news this past week probably saw that billions of dollars were clawed back from infrastructure projects here in Chicago.
And not just Chicago.
Nationwide. Not nationwide either.
Actually, blue states.
Sorry. You're right.
It was just select states a certain president didn't win.
Yes.
But we're talking $20 billion taken out of New York City. $2 billion just on Friday was taken out for the Red Line project. $2 billion in infrastructure.
And we were struggling with that RTA that we talked about.
Well,
the
transit cliff.
Right, so now it's going to be even worse.
The RTA earlier this past week pumped more money in.
Yeah.
And so it cut the transit fiscal cliff in half. That was great news.
Yeah.
And then we get news that they pulled $2 billion out for the Red Line and about a half billion for other transit projects.
They might have to revisit that number.
Yeah.
To the original $700 million.
Folks that are working. Shortfall. Yeah. Folks that are working on these projects, which is a lot. I mean, these projects create a ton of jobs.
Yeah.
Those folks aren't going to have those projects to work on. And why? Let's ask why. Is it to save money for the federal government? Is it to free up money to send to Argentina? Is it paying for the soybeans that are no longer being sold because of the trade war? Or is it just punishment because J.B. Pritzker said that the president should be, brought up on the 25th Amendment for rambling in front of a room full of generals.
He has been rambling a lot lately.
Ultimately, the effect is punishment for workers in Chicago.
Correct.
Many of which voted for the president. Let's be honest.
Well, listen.
Same
in all of the states. You can call it a Democratic state, but the people that are doing the work, the building trades, to be honest with you, lean right. It just is what it is. So now you're taking jobs away from people that voted for you.
It's a war on workers.
It's a war on workers in such a horrible way. You're just firing hundreds of thousands of federal workers, right?
Yeah.
Most of whom voted for you, okay? And now all of a sudden you're going to cancel these projects. Projects, by the way, that some of them are 80% done, 90% done, almost finished, in the middle of it. Now what's going to happen? Is it just going to sit there? You know what I mean? Literally, is it just going to sit there? Half a tunnel is built?
Yeah.
So then what? And so you're canceling these jobs because you're angry.
A lot of these renewable energy projects canceled.
That's woke, Phil. That's woke.
Well, and that's going to have an impact on what you pay in utility rates.
That's for sure.
We're all going to be impacted by this.
Yeah, he calls it the green scam or whatever. Green scam. I heard we're going to resuscitate coal.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is true.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
We're bringing back black lung.
Yeah.
We need to order 10,000 canaries.
But how many jobs is that going to fill? It's not very many.
Even coal miners don't want to mine
coal. We're losing jobs.
Oh.
And even though there's no jobs report anymore because BLS is not...
One of the first things that got shut down in the shutdown.
Yeah, of course. ADP, in their infinite wisdom, said, guess what? We lost 32,000 jobs last month. Lost.
Bloomberg reported on Friday that we are at the lowest hiring levels since 2009.
And what was 2009? Right after the Great Recession.
That was a really bad year.
Yes.
The worst year.
And we're at the lowest hiring levels, right? And people are losing their jobs in droves. So what happened?
But now we're not going to know because we're not going to get those reports anymore, correct?
No news is good news, Phil.
Everybody knows because everybody can see their neighbors, their friends, their family.
Yeah.
You know the fact that what was promised to us, jobs, infrastructure, manufacturing, bringing all this stuff back, the tariffs are going to pay for everything. None of that is working right now.
Mm-mm.
Our country right now is a bit of a dumpster fire. Ed, you said that we're giving $20 million to Argentina, right?
Billion.
$20 billion to Argentina.
Yes.
Argentina is buying soybeans from China.
They're selling their soybeans to China our soybeans.
Okay, right.
So how do you lose twice?
No, you pay the farmers.
We're paying our farmers and we're paying Argentina.
But isn't paying the farmers, Ed, socialism?
That is exactly what that is.
Okay, so...
Farmers... Typically, it tends to be the largest bastion of socialism here in the United States and has been for generations.
Because of the subsidies.
Right. I mean, grow more corn. Yeah, it's not worth anything, but the government will just pay you more than the corn is worth. Taking money because we can't sell it to China, so we have to take care of you with taxpayer dollars. So the money that's being paid in tariffs by consumers is paying farmers for things that they can't sell anymore.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm pretty sure we lost the trade war.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not that smart, but it sure looks
We're losing jobs in the economy, you know, and that's bad for workers. So, you know, I don't know what the solution is. I really don't.
Yeah.
The trend appears to be going downward.
Yeah, it's bad, yeah. Right? So people start saving for a rainy day, you know. So anyway, that's our positive, happy news.
Do you have a listener of the week?
Yeah.
Oh, we do have a listener of the week, actually. I give this one, makes you feel a little better. I was in an Uber where I was talking to this guy, and just shooting the breeze. And his name is Daniel. He's going to grad school to become a social worker and listens to the Workers Mic. And more power to him. I'm like, you know, what do you want to do that for? And he's like, I think this is what my calling is. I know I'm not going to make a ton of money. You know, I'd like to open up a practice, et cetera. But, you know, it's one of those jobs that are undervalued, I would say, right? Social workers, teachers, you know, things like that. We just don't put enough value on them. We're too busy paying the CEO of, Boeing $32 million or whatever, paying for the Starbucks guy's jet, you know. I mean, we're not, but you understand what I'm saying. So, anyway, that's the listener of the week, Daniels. Shout out to him. Anything else, guys?
Nope. All right. Have a good weekend. What's left of it?
We're in the spooky month right now, right?
Spooky month.
Rocktober. Ooh. Yeah. Heck yeah. All right. Listen, we'll be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNradio.com.